Trinadapi sunichena turad iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama eva kivalam kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. So we're picking up from the middle of chapter number 29. This book is called Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapter 29, the Rasa Dance, Introduction. And we left off in the paragraph beginning immediately upon hearing the vibration of the flute. That is the paragraph we left off on. And in case some of you may be wondering, my mood today is going to be very serious because for several days I was very nervous and worried that I might be having a heart attack. And so today Krishna revealed that everything is okay. But for the past few days I was very nervous. So your prayers and blessings have saved me. Thank you very much. So my mood today will be somewhat serious. So let's begin where we left off. Immediately upon hearing the vibration of the flute, they all left their respective engagements and proceeded to the spot where Krishna was standing. While they ran very swiftly, their earrings swung back and forth. They all rushed toward the place known as Vanshivat. Some of them were engaged in milking cows, but they left their milking business half finished and immediately went to Krishna. One of them had just collected milk and put it in a milk pan on the stove to boil, but she did not care whether the milk overboiled and spilled. She immediately left to go see Krishna. Some of them were breastfeeding their small babies, and some were engaged in distributing food to the members of their families. But they all left such engagements and immediately rushed toward the spot where Krishna was playing his flute. Some were engaged in serving their husbands, and some were themselves engaged in eating. But caring neither to serve their husbands nor eat, they immediately left. Some of them wanted to decorate their faces with cosmetic ointments and to dress themselves very nicely before going to Krishna. But unfortunately, they could not finish their cosmetic decorations or put on their clothes in the right way, because of their anxiety to meet Krishna immediately. Their faces were decorated hurriedly and were haphazardly finished. Some even put the lower part of their clothes on the upper part of their bodies and the upper part on the lower part. While all the gopis were hurriedly leaving their respective places, their husbands, brothers, and fathers were all struck with wonder to know where they were going. Being young girls, they were protected either by husbands, elder brothers, or fathers. All their guardians forbade them to go to Krishna, but they disregarded them. When a person becomes attracted by Krishna and is in full Krishna consciousness, he or she does not care for any worldly duties, even though very urgent. Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it gives everyone relief from all material activities. Srila Rupa Goswami has written a very nice verse wherein one gopi advises another, My dear friend, if you desire to enjoy the company of material society, friendship, and love, then please do not go to see this smiling boy, Govinda, who is standing on the bank of the Yamuna and playing his flute. His lips brightened by the beams of the full moonlight. Srila Rupa Goswami indirectly instructs that one who has been captivated by the beautiful smiling face of Krishna has lost all attraction for material enjoyments. This is the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. A person advancing in Krishna consciousness must lose interest in material activities and personal sense gratification. Some of the gopis were factually detained from going to Krishna by their husbands and were locked up by force within their rooms. Being unable to go to Krishna, they began to meditate upon his transcendental form by closing their eyes. They already had the form of Krishna within their minds. They proved to be the greatest yogis, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. A person who is constantly thinking of Krishna within one's heart with faith and love is considered to be the topmost of all yogis. Actually, a yogi concentrates the mind on the form of Lord Vishnu. That is real yoga. Krishna is the original form of all Vishnu tattvas. The gopis could not go to Krishna personally, so they began to meditate on him as perfect yogis. In the conditioned stage of the living entities, there are two kinds of results of fruitive activities. The conditioned living entity, who is constantly engaged in sinful activities, has suffering as one's result. And one who is engaged in pious activities has material enjoyment as a result. In either case, material suffering or material enjoyment, the sufferer or enjoyer is conditioned by material nature. The gopi associates of Krishna, who assembled in the place where Krishna was appearing, were from different groups. Most of the gopis were eternal companions of Krishna, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. In the spiritual world, the associates of Krishna, especially the gopis, are manifestations of the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. But when Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes within the material world, in some of the universes, not only the eternal associates of Krishna come, but also those who are being promoted to that status from this material world. So some of the gopis who joined Krishna's pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings. If they had been bound by fruitive action, they were fully freed from the reaction of karma by constant meditation on Krishna. Their severely painful yearnings, caused by their not being able to see Krishna, freed them from all sinful reactions. And their ecstasy of transcendental love for Krishna in his absence ended all their reactions to material pious activities. The conditioned soul, who is subjected to birth and death, either by pious or sinful activities, but the gopis, who began to meditate on Krishna, transcended both positions and became purified and thus elevated to the status of the gopis already expanded by his pleasure potency. All the gopis who concentrated their minds on Krishna in the spirit of paramour love became fully purified of all fruitive reactions of material nature. And some of them immediately gave up their material bodies developed under the three modes of material nature. Maharaj Parikshit heard Shukadeva Goswami explain the situation of the gopis who assembled with Krishna in the rasa dance. When he heard that some of the gopis, simply by concentrating on Krishna as their paramour, became freed from all contamination of material birth and death, he said, "The gopis did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They accepted him as a beautiful boy and considered him to be the paramour. So how was it possible for them to get freed from the material condition just by thinking of a paramour?" One should consider here that Krishna and ordinary living beings are qualitatively one. The ordinary living beings, being part and parcel of Krishna, are also Brahman. But Krishna is the supreme, Parabrahman. The question is, if it is possible for a devotee to get freed from the material contaminated stage simply by thinking of Krishna, then why should this not be possible for others who are also thinking of someone? If one is thinking of a husband or a son, or if anyone at all is thinking of another living entity, then since all living entities are also Brahman, why are all those who thus think of others not freed from the contaminated stage of material nature? This is a very intelligent question, because there are always atheists imitating Krishna. In these days of Kali Yuga, there are many rascals who think themselves to be as good as Krishna and who cheat people into believing that thinking of them is as good as thinking of Lord Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, apprehending the future dangerous condition of blind followers of demoniac imitators, therefore asked this question, and fortunately it is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, to warn innocent people that thinking of an ordinary man and thinking of Krishna are not the same. Actually, even thinking of the demigods cannot compare with thinking of Krishna. It is warned in the Vaishnava Tantra that one who puts Vishnu, Narayan, or Krishna on the same level as the demigods is called a Pashandi, or rascal. On hearing this question from Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, your question is already answered even before this incident." Because Parikshit Maharaj wanted to clear up the situation, his spiritual master answered him very intelligently, "Why are you again asking about the same subject matter which has already been explained to you? Why are you so forgetful?" A spiritual master is always in the superior position, so he has the right to chastise his disciple in this way. At this point, I would like to make a comment. For those of you who are not yet initiated by a spiritual master, you would do well to meditate on these last few sentences that Srila Prabhupada has included here, that before you select a spiritual master, you should be in the position that you will be able to accept that spiritual master even when the spiritual master chastises you. One should not be naive and think that the relationship with the spiritual master is all lovey-dovey. This point is very, very significant. I'll again repeat what Prabhupada says here. A spiritual master is always in the superior position, so he has the right to chastise disciple in this way. So any of you who are thinking about accepting a spiritual master, you should consider this person whom I'm about to accept. Will I be ready to accept chastisement from this person? That is something we all need to think about. Sukadeva Goswami knew that Maharaj Parikshit asked the question, not for his own understanding, but as a warning to the future innocent people who might think others to be equal to Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami then reminded Parikshit Maharaj about the salvation of Shishupal. Shishupal was always envious of Krishna, and because of his envy, Krishna killed him. But since Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shishupal gained salvation simply by seeing him. If an envious person can get salvation simply by concentrating his mind on Krishna, then what to speak of the gopis who are so dear to Krishna and always think of him in love? There must be some difference between the enemies and the friends. If Krishna's enemies could get freed from material contamination and become one with the Supreme, then certainly his dear friends like the gopis can achieve such freedom and much more. Besides that, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is called Rishikesha. Sukadeva Goswami also said that Krishna is Rishikesha, the super soul, whereas an ordinary man is a conditioned soul covered by the material body. Krishna and Krishna's body are the same because he is Rishikesha. Any person making a distinction between Krishna and Krishna's body is fool number one. Krishna is Rishikesha and Adhokshaja. These two particular words have been used by Sukadeva Goswami in this instance. Rishikesha is the Supersoul and Adhokshaja is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to the material nature. Just to show favor to the ordinary living entities, out of his causeless mercy, he appears as he is. Unfortunately, foolish persons mistake him to be an ordinary person, and so they become eligible to go to hell. Sukadeva Goswami continued to inform Maharaj Parikshit that Krishna is not an ordinary person, but rather the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imperishable, immeasurable, and without any material qualities, but full of all spiritual qualities. He appears in this material world out of his causeless mercy, and whenever he appears as he is without change. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says that he appears by his spiritual potency. He does not appear under the control of the material potency. The material potency is under his control. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the material potency is working under his superintendence. It is also confirmed in the Brahma Sanhita that the material potency, known as Durga, is acting just as a shadow which moves with the movement of the substance. The conclusion is that if somehow or other one becomes attached to Krishna or attracted to him, either because of his qualities of beauty, opulence, fame, strength, renunciation or knowledge, or through affection or friendship, or even through lust, anger or fear, then one's salvation and freedom from material contamination are assured. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, the Lord states that one who is engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness is very dear to him. A preacher has to face many difficulties in his struggle to preach pure Krishna consciousness. Sometimes he has to suffer bodily injuries, and sometimes he has to meet death also. All this is taken as a great austerity on behalf of Krishna. Krishna therefore has said that such a preacher is very, very dear to him. If Krishna's enemies can expect salvation simply by concentrating their minds on him, then what to speak of persons who are so dear to Krishna? The conclusion should be that the salvation of those who are engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness in the world is guaranteed in all circumstances. But such preachers never care for salvation, because factually, one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, has already achieved salvation. Shukadeva Goswami therefore assured King Parikshit that he should always rest assured that one who is attracted by Krishna attains liberation from material bondage, because Krishna is the transcendental master of all mystic power. In this connection, I'd like to point out that I also want to pray to Krishna that I can remain always preaching Krishna consciousness. There will be no other way by which I can achieve salvation. So I pray to Krishna that I can always, always remain preaching Krishna consciousness. I pray to Krishna that I have long, healthy life so that I may continue preaching. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When all the gopis assembled as described before Krishna, he began to speak to them, welcoming them as well as discouraging them by word jugglery. Krishna is the supreme speaker. He is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. He can speak on the highest elevated subjects of philosophy, politics, economics, everything. And he also spoke before the gopis who were so dear to him. He wanted to enchant them by word jugglery, and thus he began to speak as follows. O ladies of Vrindavan, Krishna said, you are very fortunate, and you are very dear to me. I am very much pleased that you have come here, and I hope everything is well in Vrindavan. Now, please order me. What can I do for you? What is the purpose of your coming here in the dead of night? Kindly take your seats and let me know what I can do for you. The gopis had come to Krishna to enjoy his company, to dance with him, embrace him, and kiss him. And when Krishna began to receive them very officially, showing all kinds of etiquette, they were surprised. He was treating them like ordinary society women. Therefore, they began to smile amongst themselves. And though they very eagerly listened to Krishna talk in that way, they were surprised. Then Krishna began to instruct them, "My dear friends, you must know that it is now the dead of night, and the forest is very dangerous. At this time, all the ferocious jungle animals, the tigers, bears, jackals, and wolves are prowling in the forest. Therefore, it is very dangerous for you. You cannot select a secure place now. Everywhere you go, you will find that all these animals are loitering to find their prey. I think, therefore, that you are taking a great risk in coming here in the dead of night. Please turn back immediately without delay." When he saw that they continued to smile, he said, "I very much appreciate your bodily features. All of you have nice, very thin waists. All of the gopis there were exquisitely beautiful. They are described by the word Sumadhyama. The standard of beauty of a woman is said to be Sumadhyama when the middle portion of the body is slender." Krishna wanted to impress on them that they were not old enough to take care of themselves. Actually, they required protection. It was not very wise for them to come in the dead of night to Krishna. Krishna also indicated that he was young and that they were young girls. It does not look very well for young girls and boys to remain together in the dead of night. After hearing this advice, the gopis did not seem very happy. Therefore, Krishna began to stress the point in a different way. "My dear friends, I can understand that you have left your homes without the permission of your guardians. Therefore, I think your mothers, your fathers, your elder brothers, and even your sons, and what to speak of your husbands, must be very anxious to find you. As long as you are here, they must be searching in different places, and their minds must be very agitated. So don't tarry. Please go back and make them peaceful." When the gopis appeared to be a little disturbed and angry from hearing the free advice of Krishna, they diverted their attention to looking at the beauty of the forest. At that time, the whole forest was illuminated by the bright shining of the moon, and the air was blowing very silently over the blooming flowers, and the green leaves of the trees were moving in the breeze. Krishna took the opportunity at looking at the forest to advise them, "I think you have come out to see the beautiful Vrindavan forest on this night," he said. "But you must now be satisfied. So return to your homes without delay. I understand that you are all very chaste women. So now that you have seen the beautiful atmosphere of the Vrindavan forest, please return home and engage in the faithful service of your respective husbands. Some of you must have babies by this time, although you are very young. You must have left your small babies at home, and they must be crying. Please, immediately go back home and just feed them with your breast milk. I can also understand that you have very great affection for me, and out of that transcendental affection, you have come here, hearing my playing on the flute. Your feelings of love and affection for me are very appropriate, because I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All living creatures are my parts and parcels, and naturally, they are affectionate to me. So this affection for me is very welcome, and I congratulate you for this. Now, you can go back to your homes. Another thing I must explain to you is that for a chaste woman, service to the husband without duplicity is the best religious principle. Not only should a woman be faithful and chaste to her husband, but she also be affectionate to the friends of her husband, obedient to the father and mother of her husband, and affectionate to the younger brothers of her husband. And most importantly, a woman must take care of her children. In this way, Krishna explained the duty of a woman. He also stressed the point of serving a husband. Even if he is not of very good character, or even if he is not very rich or fortunate, or even if he is old or invalid on account of continued diseases, whatever her husband's condition, a woman should not divorce her husband if she actually desires to be elevated to the higher planetary systems after leaving this body. Besides that, it is considered abominable in society if a woman is unfaithful and goes searching for another man. Such habits will deter a woman from being elevated to the heavenly planets, and the results of such habits are very degrading. A married woman should not search for a paramour, for this is not sanctioned by the Vedic principles of life. If you think that you are very much attached to me and you want my association, I advise you not to personally try to enjoy me. It is better for you to go home, simply talk about me and think of me, and by this process of constantly remembering me and chanting my names, you will surely be elevated to the spiritual platform. There is no need to stand near me. Please go back home. The instruction given herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the gopis was not at all sarcastic. Such instructions should be taken very seriously by all honest women. The chastity of women is specifically stressed herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this principle should be followed by any serious woman who wants to be elevated to a higher status of life. Krishna is the center of affection for all living creatures. When this affection is developed for Krishna, one surpasses and transcends all Vedic injunctions. This was possible for the gopis because they saw Krishna face to face. This is not possible for any woman in the conditioned state. Unfortunately, sometimes a rascal following the philosophy of monism or oneness, very irresponsibly takes advantage of this Rasa Leela to imitate the behavior of Krishna with the gopis, entice many innocent women, and mislead them in the name of spiritual realization. As a warning, Lord Krishna has herein hinted that what was possible for the gopis is not possible for ordinary women. Although a woman can actually be elevated by advanced Krishna consciousness, she should not be enticed by an impostor who says that he is Krishna. She should concentrate her devotional activities in chanting and meditating upon Krishna as advised herein. One should not follow the men called sahajiyas, the so-called devotees who take everything very lightly. So we'll stop our Krishna book reading here, because I am also doing a Bhagavad Gita class in honor of my godbrother, His Holiness, I now can't remember his name. Hold on a second. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. His Holiness Bhakti Marg Swami. I made friendship with him this summer when I was in Thunder Bay, Canada for Rath Yatra, and at the request of his disciple Hari Leela Devi Dasi. His favorite Bhagavad Gita shloka is Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, verse number 18. So we'll stop Krishna book here. We'll resume next week. And we will have our Krishna book class next Thursday, because on Tuesday I have a special preaching engagement. So we cannot do it Tuesday. So next week we'll do it on the 13th, Thursday, and we'll continue with this Rasa Leela chapter. But right now, if you would like to follow along, let us go to Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, verse number 18, which is the favorite Bhagavad Gita verse of my friend and well-wisher, His Holiness Bhakti Marg Swami. But before we do that, I'd like to chant a quick bhajan. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarad Hari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarad Hari,
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So Chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita is entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. So Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Karma means activity, work, action. And yoga means to link with the Supreme. Those who are impersonalists, they think that the way to become free from the reactions of all activities is to simply stop acting. And we see that Krishna does not approve of this in the opening verse of chapter 6. But still, there are many people who think like this, that the way to get liberation is to cease all activities. But according to Krishna, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, the way to get free and the way to become liberated is karma yoga. Actions, work, activities that are in Krishna consciousness. So that is the gist of this chapter. So now let's go to text number 18. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapake Cha Pandita Samadarshanah. Synonyms: Vidya, with education. Vinaya, gentleness. Sampanne, fully equipped. Brahmane, in the Brahman. Gavi, in the cow. Hastini, in the elephant. Shuni, in the dog. Cha, and. Eva, certainly. Shrapake, in the dog eater, the outcast. Cha, respectively. Pandita, those who are wise. Samadarshanaha, who see with equal vision. Translation: the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater or outcast. Purport: a Krishna conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The Brahman and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species. But these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme. For the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma regardless of the circumstances of the living entity. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahman. Although the body of a Brahman and that of an outcast are not the same, the bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the supersoul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the supersoul, however, does not make them equal in quantity. For the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he or she is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and supersoul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the supersoul is conscious of all bodies. The supersoul is present in all bodies without distinction. So I would like to pray to Lord Krishna that my good friend, His Holiness Bhakti Marg Swami, lives a long, healthy life and is able to preach Krishna consciousness without any obstruction. That is the best blessing I can give to my good God brother friend. When I was in Canada in the summer, in July, he was very, very kind to me when we attended the Rath Yatra in Thunder Bay. And he was so meek and humble that although he is a sannyasi, GBC, an initiating spiritual master, he went out of his way to see to my comforts. For 2 days, it was actually very embarrassing. He took such good care of me and treated me with such love and attention. So even now I'm thinking about how nice he was. Here he is, a sannyasi, very elevated, but he has that unique quality, the one that is the most important quality, the quality of humility. And so I would like to, on this occasion of his Vyas Puja celebration by his disciples, I would also like to sing a special song for him. His disciple, Hari Leela, has selected one particular song that was written by my wife, a song that she wrote for Srila Prabhupada. And so I would like to sing it for His Holiness Bhakti Marg Swami.
Taught us everything we know, because you are so kind. You came to relieve us of all distress and purify our minds. And so many troubles you had to face to bring us love of God. Your kindness overwhelmed us all. We could feel it wasn't a fraud. Words are hard to find to repay you. Seems impossible, but you freed us from that bind. So many troubles you had to face to bring us love of God. Your kindness overwhelmed us all. We could feel it wasn't a fraud. Please let me repay.
What?
wasn't a fraud. Please let me repay you. Please let me repay you. Please let me repay. Let me repay you. Please let me repay you. Please let me repay you. Following your
So may Krishna bless and protect His Holiness Bhakti Marg Swami.